You're listening to Sideshow Network.
Hello, listeners. Welcome to another episode of Lady Lovin'. I'm Lil Bosworth. Welcome to the show. I have Jilly and Greta with me.
Hello.
Hi. Hi.
Guys, I haven't introduced the show in a couple weeks.
Yeah, you really haven't. I think I haven't been introducing.
You're doing a great job.
You
keep
are.
Going.
I'm just doing I'm doing a great job not introducing the show.
No, introducing
no,
the show.
No, you are.
Thanks, guys. Well, it's a very important, exciting episode. Probably the one that I have been most excited about for a really long time.
What about I think you, it's Jill? Probably our most important episode.
Yes, I think this is a top-notch
Yeah.
episode.
It's very timely with just a couple months to go until the elections in November. So I'm very excited to welcome Adrian Elrod to the show.
Thanks
Hi,
for
Adrian.
Having me. Hi, ladies.
Hello. Hi.
So for those of you that don't know, Adrian is the Director of Strategic Communications for Hillary for America.
Yay.
Girl power.
Our studio audience is clapping.
Blue just got up out of excitement.
Yeah, Blue loves the ladies. Our show is Lady Lovin', Adrian, and we are here to empower other women. We love to have, you know, strong, smart gals on the show, and you are just such a perfect guest to have on, so we're really excited.
Well, thank you, ladies. I'm so excited to be here, and I was just saying offline that my colleagues in the office, especially the young girls, are so excited that I'm doing this today.
Yeah.
I think it's the most, to them, this is the most exciting interview that anyone on the campaign has done in a long time.
Which is so funny because, like, Hillary Clinton's on, like, Jimmy Fallon all the time.
I would say the Broad City episode.
Yeah. That was pretty great. We get creative. We try to get Hillary into different, you know, in front of different audiences, and the way to reach, of course, you know, people like your viewers who are maybe not watching MSNBC and CNN all day is to go on Broad City, to go on Saturday Night Live, and get to go on Jimmy Fallon. So those are the types of interviews that she likes to do.
It's very smart and fun. I like that.
Those are the things I like to see her into.
Yeah. I love
her. It just feels accessible.
Yeah.
It's accessible, and it shows, you know, she really gets a chance to show her personal side, which is a very warm, funny person who, you know, on the one hand can litigate any policy that you throw in front of her. On the other hand, she can happily talk about her grandchild or her grandchildren now. And, you know, her favorite hair products and her favorite, you know, places to shop. So it just gives, a great platform for her to get, you know, sort of away from a lot of the policy talk and into, you know, some of the other topics and things that she enjoys in life.
Yeah. I'm not kidding you. I would die to know Hillary's hair products. I would love nothing more than to know what she puts in her hair. Her hair always looks great and perfect. Like, she will be campaigning for, like, 15 hours at rallies and then going to private events and then leaving and all this. It's crazy. Her hair looks perfect. It's like flawless.
I for one am very jealous. She looks phenomenal all the time.
Yeah.
And
I don't know, Adrian, you have really
great hair.
I was gonna say, Greta, I would die to see the Secret Service like tackling Greta. She's trying to like crawl into Hillary's bathroom.
No, what they wouldn't
try
tackle
to see if
me
it's,
low
like, Elmet in there or Orbe.
They would be like honestly, I wonder. No, she's probably using like some good American hair products.
All natural.
Mabes. We should ask. We should ask the real questions. What does she put in her hair?
Tell us, Adrian.
Those questions, please. I don't know, or those answers, I don't know. But I can tell you that she, she looks amazing all the time, and she's outworking all of us. I mean, we're all working hard, but she's the one who's up super early in the morning, preparing, hitting the road, very early, sleeping on planes. Doing 4 or 5 events oftentimes a day. She's really working hard.
That's nuts.
She manages to, be poised and smart and also have great hair throughout the entire day and night.
It's so interesting because, like, even in this conversation that we're having about this incredible woman who is running for president, which is unbelievable and something that's a long time coming that should have happened forever ago. But here we are talking about her hair. You know, it's like, it's when we were just chatting before we started recording, Jilly was commenting on the fact that no one ever really asks what kind of suits Barack Obama wears.
Except for the one time he wore that nude suit and everyone freaked out. Remember that?
Yes.
He wore that nude suit. Everyone's like, what are you wearing? But yeah, it's definitely like women in this sort of light get you know, not harassed, but get,
well, yes, they get harassed,
like, yeah, they're subjected to
extreme criticism.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but definitely.
How do you feel as a woman? You know, you were saying that you've been working in politics for 20 years, and how does it feel now to be working on a campaign for a woman?
I mean, it's words, you can't put words into this. You know, I joined the campaign in March of 2015 before there was actually a campaign. Mm-hmm. She was still deciding whether or not she was going to actually do this. A group of us moved to New York, or some were already in New York. I moved from D.C. to New York to join this amazing, incredible effort. And I had the benefit of being on the 2008 campaign, which was amazing in itself. But there's something that feels so different about this campaign, I think in part because there's so much at stake.
Right.
You know, we are very focused and very excited. As a woman, every day I'm so thrilled that, you know, I believe that we are on the cusp of making history again. In 2008, we elected the first Black man president of the United States. We are on the cusp, you know, I believe, to electing the first female president of the United States. But there's just something that feels a little bit more urgent and a little bit more at stake in this election. Our country feels so divided right now. Even if you're not following politics every day, I think you can feel it. Mm-hmm, and you see it. It feels divided more than ever before, at least, you know, in my life. I also truly believe at my core that there's no one who has ever been prepared to be president more than Hillary Clinton. She is the kind of person who can walk in on day one, roll up her sleeves, and know exactly what to do. And in these tumultuous times, with everything going on internationally, the problems that we are facing domestically here in the United States,
which are tremendous,
we need someone who is a leader, who has experience, and who can tackle these problems. This is not a joke. This is not a reality show. This is actually, you know, a campaign to be president of the United States.
Right.
So there's a lot at stake, and you know, I think it's mission critical. You know, that's why we all, you know, all the hours that we're putting in as a staff, she's putting in twice the work and twice the hours. And it's, you know, it's really an amazing experience.
Yeah. Could you talk a little bit about Hillary's background? Because I don't know if a lot of younger people realize that Hillary Clinton is so much more than the First Lady of the United States. And I know that she's been Secretary of State for a while, but she has had so many, and a senator. She has had so much experience,
and
she
has, she's the United States.
Exactly. Like, she has dedicated her life to giving back to people, to public service. And I don't think people really realize like the depth and the extent of that. And I think if they did, it would shed a whole new light on what she's trying to do and for what reason.
Well, I'm so glad you asked this because, you know, for one, she, you know, she comes from a very middle class family. Her father was a small business owner. You know, she saw as a young person what it was like to struggle economically as a family. And she also happened to be an incredibly smart student. She was the head of her high school debate team, which is one of the reasons why she's such a good debater to this day. Those are things that, tactics that she learned early on that have taken her very far in this campaign. But, you know, she went to college at Wellesley on a scholarship. Then she essentially put herself through law school. And when many of her classmates from Yale were going on to high-powered law firms in New York and Washington, D.C. and Los Angeles and other places across the country, she went to work for the Children's Defense Fund. Because when she was in college and when she was at Yale, she did some work in states and realized that there are so many children who are disenfranchised and who needed help. And instead of focusing on making money, she was more focused on actually changing the lives of people. especially young children. When she was at the Children's Defense Fund, she met a woman named Marion Wright Edelman, who was her boss, and just, you know, to this day is still one of her premier mentors. She learned so much from her about the value of education, about the value of, you know, communicating to your children. And I think so many of us read, you know, in magazines or read, you know, stories or watching the news about, you know, here's what you should do as a parent, you know, here's some parenting skills, et cetera. But what she was learning is that, especially back in the late 60s and the early 70s, so many children, especially in rural areas, and parents in particular, you know, were living in impoverished areas and were good people who wanted to do the best they could for their children. They just needed to know what to do, and they needed to understand the skills that were necessary so that when their child did become, you know, 5 years old and was ready for kindergarten. And by the way, most of these areas did not have pre-K at the time, which is a very common theme now, but at the time it was not. So, you know, she learned early on that with a little bit of education and communication to families and to parents, you know, your kid can be on the same learning level as children who are from very wealthy families.
Yeah.
But if you don't reach that level by the time your child is 4 or 5 years old, if they are not on that same education level as their peers, then you are often behind for the rest of your life. So helping children became a passion of hers. I think everybody probably knows that she moved to Arkansas. She's not from there. I'm from Arkansas. She's not from Arkansas. She moved to Arkansas to marry her husband, a man named Bill Clinton, and really just fell in love with the state, did so much as somebody who's from Arkansas. My mother and Hillary, the fun fact, they were actually two of four female attorneys in Northwest Arkansas at the time. Which is really cool.
Out of all of the attorneys.
She's always been a trailblazer. My mom was, I think, one of three women to graduate from law school at the University of Arkansas in her class out of like maybe 100 people. Hillary, of course, went to Yale, but she moved back to Arkansas or moved to Arkansas to be with her husband. My mom was there too. And I'm sort of, you know, going off on a trail here, but one of the things that I've learned from both of them is they never, even though it was really hard to be a woman in a quote-unquote man's world at the time, as, you know, one of the only, you know, a handful of the only two female attorneys in Arkansas or in that area of Arkansas at the time, they never let that hold them back. You know, it was never an issue. They never made it an issue. They just powered through and realized that this is, you know, this is how it is, but we chose this profession. We want to do this. We want to do good for society, and those traits still carry Hillary today. She powers through everything in life. She's a survivor. She's a trailblazer, and she's just an amazing woman.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you have to be doing what she has done and what she is doing and what she continues to do.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Can we talk? I would be interested to know, like you were saying earlier, she sometimes does 4 or 5 events a day. Like, how long is a day in the life of Hillary Clinton? Does she ever get a day off?
Oh, goodness. It is, you know, we definitely give her, or we try to give her downtime, you know, occasionally, because everybody needs a little bit of rest and, you know, time to catch up and, you know, briefings and whatnot. But a typical day for her starts anywhere from, you know, 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning and goes well beyond midnight. I mean, you know, especially when she's traveling to the West Coast, doing, you know, trips that require lengthy travel. You know, she's working on the plane. Every minute of her time, especially right now, is utilized. But, you know, again, you know, whereas when I leave the office, which is anywhere between 9 and 10 o'clock at night on a regular basis, I go home, I go to sleep. Mm-hmm. You know, when she is done with an event, she's immediately doing either an interview, you know, calling into a different event, you know, reviewing a policy briefing, preparing for debates. I mean, she's always working, making phone calls to voters, to you know, to donors. She's always working. And
so not a lot of cat naps.
Not a lot of cat naps, no.
Can I, no. Can we take a second? Do you guys mind if I really just want to ask some questions about, like, working in the campaign?
Sure.
Like, you working in the campaign and what it's like Because that's, I mean, that is a massive piece of the puzzle, right? Like, mm-hmm. she is also charged by all of you guys and everyone, all the volunteers and everyone that's doing, like, this nitty gritty work.
Of course, yeah.
So my first question is, what is the, like, general morale inside the campaign right now?
Energized.
Because I feel like... it is a really intense time, it is really crazy. And I said earlier that I would not name the person that's the problem.
Don't do it. I'm not.
But I'm just curious as to what the general morale is, and however candid you can get with that.
I mean, first of all, I will say I'm one of the oldest people on the campaign. As a 40-year-old woman, I'm one of the older ones. So I think part of the energy that we feel every day in the office is the fact that we have so many young people who are just so energized by Hillary and energized about the cause that they're supporting, the mission that they are taking on every day that they walk into that office. So there's a real energy there, which, by the way, if you girls ever want to come out and see the campaign, it really is amazing.
That would be great. Oh my God. Wait, can we do a podcast episode at the campaign headquarters in Brooklyn?
Yes. Let's do it.
We can do a live one and video it.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
It would be. And we could get some other folks from the campaign and different offices.
Love that.
And operations on. But it just feels, it's very energetic. It feels, there's a lot of energy, but there's also a sense of urgency, which I think just fuels everybody. There's none of that, even though we're working long hours, and I think probably all of us have been in environments before where you're like, oh my God, it's like 6 o'clock. Yeah. I don't want to be the first person to leave, but I'm kind of done. I have to sort of sit around until my boss leaves.
I looked at my watch and I was like, it's 1 o'clock. I was like, I got here at 11 and it's 1.
And the morale was not energized.
Yeah,
and
the morale was like,
there was
no
morale.
Get
me the F out of here.
That's so funny. Again, we've all worked in those environments. I can say on her campaign, we've got 53 days left until the election.
Yeah. Which is crazy.
And
how many... Sorry, go ahead, Julie.
I was just going to say, for those people that haven't registered to vote, where and how do they go about to doing that? Just
I'm so glad you asked.
Of course.
www.iwillvote.com. You can go there. Links to show you every place you need to go, no matter where you live in the country, no matter what your voter registration status is. If you want to know, goodness, did I register to vote in 2012? I can't remember. You can look up your voter registration on the site. If you are wondering when you can start voting early in some states, how you can vote by mail in other states, how you can absentee vote. All of that information is on iwillvote.com. It will either take you to various websites to get you that information, or the information is on that site.
And when is the last day to register?
It's different in every state, which is why it's so important to go to I Will Vote. And I'm, again, really glad that you asked that, because to all your listeners, don't wait until election day to vote. You never know if there's going to be a snowstorm or if you're going to get
a flat tire.
Right. Every state has a variety of ways that you can vote early. And if you go to iwillvote.com, it can explain all of that to you. But you never know what's going to happen
every vote counts.
Yes. I was just about to say, there is one of the biggest privileges of living in this country is the fact that we can vote. There is no reason for you to not vote. If you don't like any candidate, well, guess what? You not voting is you voting for the shittier one that I'm not going to name. And I'm going to become really serious and crazy. But everyone has to vote. You just have to vote. Too many people died for you to vote.
Correct.
To not vote.
Correct.
That's what I think.
It's a privilege. But it's not something that you can just walk in and do on election day if you're not registered to vote, if you're not sure where your voting location is. It's a very easy process, but do a little homework on the front end. Make sure you know where to vote early. Mm-hmm. Make sure that you're registered. Get registered if you're not. All of that can be found on iwillvote.com.
On voting day, do you have to bring your ID with you?
You do not. You do not here. There are states where you do. It's a very controversial law in certain states.
That's why I brought it up.
I'm glad you asked.
I was like, I want some drama. Can you decode the drama for me?
Wait, one more question back to the campaign. Mm-hmm. When a friend of mine, when she was volunteering in 2012, mm-hmm. I guess, went out on the campaign and like truly only ate cheeseburgers and like came back gray. Like, what do you guys eat? Because when you're out in the middle of nowhere, mm-hmm. you know, just going, I'm not kidding you. She came back and she was a different person.
Yeah, that's actually a really good question. I mean, taking care of your health is of vital importance. I worked on the 2008 campaign. We all gained, you know, 10 to 15 pounds easily. It's part of the deal. As an older woman now, I am really focused on trying to work out and, you know, trying to eat as healthy as possible. But at the end of the day, when you are working late at the office and somebody orders 5 pizzas, the easiest thing to do is to eat 2 or 3 yeah. pieces of pizza.
Yeah, I love pizza.
Mm-hmm. Me too. I love it.
What do you think of New York pizza now that you're a New Yorker?
Oh my God, it's better than any place in the country.
I mean,
now I get it.
You don't miss DC pizza?
I don't.
Literally the worst pizza on the planet.
What is DC known for food-wise? Yeah.
Jumbo slice pizza.
No, but not even like, pizza. What is their food?
Oh, probably like Ben's Chili Bowl. Mm-hmm. Probably mumbo sauce, which is like you can eat it with fried chicken and stuff like that.
So like are people in DC looking for a food item ever?
Like a popular food item?
Like a Philly cheesesteak.
I would say the DC version of that is going to Ben's Chili Bowl.
It's not, I think you're right. I think it's not exactly a food item itself. It is a place to go. Like there's no Philly steak for deep. There's no New York bagel.
I mean,
like
did Katz's you ever
deli? In
no.
New York.
Yeah, it is a Katz's deli. It's like an iconic place to go. Like Obama went there and everyone freaked out. And it's mm-hmm. like they have half smokes and they have a bunch of chili and it's painted and it's old school and it's cool. like a mm-hmm. counter service. I would say jumbo slice too.
Yeah.
Huge deal. Jumbo slice is a big piece of pizza that's literally like bigger than a pizza pie, just one slice.
Oh my Whoa. God. How big is their pizza oven?
The size of your apartment.
Really big. It's really big.
One interesting question, obviously, because like with meme culture that mm-hmm. the world is obsessed with, and yep. obviously I probably see a new meme of Hillary daily in my feed. Mm-hmm. Does she like ever look at any? I mean, obviously she's so busy, but I mean, is there anyone that she's ever like seen or noticed? Or
well, I think the most infamous one is when she was flying back from somewhere, Secretary of State, and she was wearing the sunglasses.
Yeah,
and she had the BlackBerry.
Yeah,
you know, and that just you know went viral, and she loved it. She invited. I think, if memory serves me correctly, there were two young men who were responsible for lifting that up and giving it a lot of lift. And she invited them to the State Department and
that
did like
is
a photo
so
with them.
Chill.
I love that.
That's it.
They're so funny. There was one that I posted recently, and it was a picture of Bill Clinton, and it just said Hillary's husband.
Yeah.
I liked that one because I was, you know, normally it's like a woman, and it'll be like. Like blah blah blah's wife. So it's
well,
like,
it's so funny
instead
that you
of her
say
job.
That.
So I liked that one.
If you guys come to the office, there's actually a girl that I work with who has who's had this on her desk for over a year. But there was one of our traveling embeds whose name is Dan Merica. If you're listening, Dan from CNN.
Hey Dan.
Hey Dan.
What's up, Dan?
but Dan Merica tweeted at one of her first events. Something along the lines of standing by a young girl who just said to her mom something like, look, mom, that's Hillary Clinton's husband.
That's amazing.
Which was really cool. So, yeah. You know, I think he's really, not I think, I know he's really enjoying his role right now. Mm-hmm. You know, he was an amazing president, but I think he's happy to be, you know, surrogate extraordinaire for Hillary. He's been working so hard on the campaign trail and he's, you know.
He does seem very content.
Yeah.
Super content to be the future. What are we going to call him?
Well, he'll be always Mr.
Man.
President.
He'll always be Mr.
Welcome.
President. Well, you always... Woo, Jilly just had
so excited at naming Bill
she was
Clinton.
Like, why are we going to call Bill Clinton?
My microphone,
right, Greta, I guess, are you right?
I think that formally you always refer to him as Mr. President. Yeah. Like, you would never see him and be like,
Hey, Mr. Clinton. No.
Right, right. I think he'll always be Mr. President. But it is going to be a unique, certainly not just unique, but unprecedented situation to have, a former president serving as first man.
Also, I have another question. There's
first
the
man,
Twitter
that's
accounts
what it's called officially.
Of FLOTUS and POTUS. Whoever's president take over those accounts and then Barack gets his own account?
Do they delete that?
Also, do they delete all of the past tweets because it's a different?
I think they'd have to.
I doubt they would get rid of the content that's already there. But they just the new president will take over the account and be like, I'm Hillary. I'm the president. And now I run this Twitter account.
You know what's cool?
Fascinating question.
You guys, we're all about the really social media over here.
I'm like,
does Hillary have a Snapchat?
Well, she does. She does.
Does she have a private Snapchat?
No.
Not to my knowledge.
Here's the thing. I was a huge fan.
I want to be on the receiving end of her private Snapchat.
I
want to see those filters.
I just want to go to the White House dinner. The White House Correspondents' Dinner.
Hold on.
So fun.
I was a huge fan of Obama's mixtapes. Did you guys listen to Obama's mixtapes that he dropped?
No.
Yeah. There's a daytime and a nighttime. Okay. Ooh. It's a really big deal.
Is it like a Spotify playlist?
Yes.
Brilliant.
And did you listen to them by any chance?
Because
the nighttime one literally gets sexy. I'm not even kidding you. The nighttime one, it's like some serious business.
Yeah.
But if that's what Obama was doing, I can't wait to see what Hillary
will
does.
Come up with.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would love a playlist curated by Hillary.
Me too.
What's her favorite thing to eat? I want to know personal stuff.
Her favorite thing to eat?
Yeah.
She loves, and she's talked about this a lot, she loves hot peppers.
Really?
I know it sounds
like jalapenos and habaneros.
Yeah, she puts them on everything.
Really?
Interesting.
Pickled or spicy?
I think spicy.
Does someone eat her food before she eats it?
Like a beef eater?
Like a poison tester.
Yeah, like a poison tester.
They're called beef eaters. Oh. Like in British aristocracy.
Beef eater was just
not aristocracy.
Honestly, I would be so afraid to move if I wasn't that much in the spotlight.
Yeah, yeah. You know, she's very used to it. And again, this is one of the amazing things about her. The secret, everything from the Secret Service detail to just being a very, very public person that just doesn't, it doesn't get to her. She is so focused on, the mission at hand and becoming president for all the right reasons because she has so many ideas that she wants to implement that everything else is just kind of, part of her life and little details that she deals with on a daily basis.
I would love to actually go back to what you spoke about earlier when she was first starting her career about education, because I think that's one of the most important things, because obviously if you start, being educated and you're on the same level as everyone or above from a young age, you're definitely way ahead. What, I guess, are some... I don't really know how to word this question.
What are some of the policies
would affect younger generations and generations to come?
Because I think that a lot of people, obviously, a lot of my friends are having kids now, and, depending on, what area they live in, it's, private schools are crazy expensive, but, some of the public schools are, not anywhere along the same lines.
Right.
So it's
our listeners who are in college and who can't afford to be in college.
Yes, definitely.
Who have, a huge amount of debt.
Right, exactly. Well, let me backtrack and just share one more story about her early life in Arkansas that I think is very emblematic to the policies, education-wise, the education reform policies that she's pushing today. When she became First Lady of Arkansas, she, was touring the state, the Delta region in Arkansas, that goes obviously into Missouri and Louisiana as well, has been a notoriously impoverished region of the country for decades. And when she would travel to these areas, she, again, realized that there are these, incredibly wonderful, nurturing parents who just need the tools to be able to educate their children, especially in those early years that they can't go to, pre-K or if, Head Start programs don't exist. you know, having the tools at home to be able to get their kids to the right level when they enter kindergarten. And she was reading, you know, she would talk to these mothers and it was just trying to think, like, how can I use my power as First Lady to help them? And she read an article in a newspaper about a home instructional program that a woman in Israel had implemented. And she ended up finding out how to contact this woman. They got in touch. Unfortunately, the woman's name is escaping me. And she implemented in Arkansas the home instructional program, or a home instructional program, which the acronym is HIPPIE, which is now in 34 states. And it literally was, I mean, almost cost neutral. It was literally a, you know, at the time, a workbook, very simplistically stated, for families in rural parts of the country where they didn't have limited resources, you know, who taught them, yes, communicating with your six-month-old child is really important. Even if your child can't talk, they need to hear you speak. They need to start learning from you how to communicate, how to talk. She tells a story about being in a parade, walking in a parade somewhere in the Delta region as First Lady, and she stopped to hug this woman and you know, shake this child's hand. And she said, you know, you must be so proud of your little girl. You must talk to her all the time. And the woman said, oh, I don't talk to her. She's too young. She doesn't understand. She can't understand me. And that's when Hillary realized these women need to understand that, you know, if you talk to your children, it's helping, and they just need the tools to get there. So these are the things that she's been doing her entire life, trying to find solutions to some really, really tough problems. So fast forward 2016. If she's lucky enough to be elected president, which I think she will be, she will take all of these things that she's learned, all of these various programs that she's helped implement, and create a real educational reform, you know, policy initiative that will help everybody. Lo, you just mentioned the college, you know, affordability, which is something that I think many of your listeners are dealing with on a daily basis. You know, one of the biggest differences between her and Bernie Sanders in the primary were their college plans. Bernie's college plan was everybody, no matter what your income status is, should get tuition-free college, which meant essentially that Donald Trump's children, sorry, I shouldn't have said his name, his children should be able to go to college for free. Hers is almost as progressive as his, but it stops right there in the sense that she does not believe if you are earning a certain income that you should get free college, and that means essentially millionaire status. So because if everybody has free college in this country, we start going to debt, and it, you know, creates bigger problems. So part of what she is very, very focused on, and she will implement as President of the United States, is free tuition for anyone that meets a certain income threshold, which is actually pretty generous. Because the college debt program or problem in this country right now is just not sustainable. It's insane.
And is there anything that she's planning to do for people who have graduated from college that still have college debt? Because, like, can you retroactively help those people?
Again, great, great question. The answer is yes. It's a you know, number of policy proposals, but one is to, you know, obviously limit, you know, loan forgiveness, or you know, make loan forgiveness something that can starting to pay back your college loans. You can do when you actually have a job. That's part of it, and part of it too is just, you know, lowering the interest rate on student loans, reducing the amount of student loans, because people will have free tuition essentially.
The interest rate should be zero.
Yeah,
that's the reality.
So in summary, I guess, before we transition to our sexploration.
Can you believe we're sexploring with Adrian?
I'm really excited.
For Hillary for America?
We're sexploring a very great topic, though, guys. Yes. Just wait for it.
But before we sexplore, why Hillary? Why should I vote for Hillary? Why should I collectively vote for Hillary?
I love all of Greta's questions, and Greta's like, she's just like, you know, just...
She's why here. Hillary?
She's here.
She means it today.
She does. I do. She brought it. I mean, look, if I'm, if I'm whoever sitting at my desk listening to the sound of my luscious voice on a Monday morning, and I'm, you know, either thinking about maybe not voting, maybe I don't like Hillary, maybe I don't like Trump,
maybe I don't
want to vote.
Maybe I don't think my vote matters.
Maybe I don't think my vote counts. Like, why should I vote for Hillary?
because experience matters. We are talking about running the United States, being the CEO of the United States of America, and you need somebody who has experience, who has ideas, who has forward-thinking proposals, and who can literally start on day one as commander-in-chief. And that person, indisputably in this race, is Hillary Clinton. Not even in this race, but across the board. She has ideas. She has, you know, for her, it's not enough that the unemployment rate is now around 5.5%. For her, she understands that people who are working are not, you know, making the wages that they need to be making, that they are not, you know, feeling good about the child care policies that their, you know, employers are offering, which is something else that if you guys are interested in talking about that, would love to talk
more
about her child care policies.
Yes.
But look, she's got the experience and the energy and the ideas to hit the ground running on day one. And that's what we need in this country right now is experience in that position. And right. She cares.
Yeah, she cares.
She cares deeply.
Yeah. About this
country. She cares about everyone in this country.
She does.
And she cares about everyone that is a citizen of this country, no matter what you believe in or who you are or what you look like or where you're from.
And even, you know, one of my favorite lines that she says quite a bit is, and this is, you know, she oftentimes says this to, you know, some of the very conservative Republicans who are not supporting her, and to the millennials, many of whom, you know, were with Bernie Sanders but are not quite with her at this point. She says to them, look, you know, even if you're not supporting me as president, I will support you. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really important line because it shows that she's not just going to fight for the people who voted for her. She's going to fight for everyone. And that's what we need in a president.
I think it's also, we will explore, but I think it's really a testament to her ability and to her character when you see so many Republicans who are in Congress, in the Senate, that work in government, that have publicly come out and support Hillary for America. That is something that is totally unique in an election cycle and is just so telling of what could potentially happen if the bad guy wins.
Exactly. You
know, it's exactly. Scary.
We have a lot of Republicans who are supporting us, and we have a lot of progressives who are supporting us. You know, it really runs the spectrum. Mm-hmm. And I think, again, to your point, to Lo's point, it is indicative of her character and the fact that, you know, in the Senate, she rolled up her sleeves, worked with Republicans to get the job done. 9/11 is a perfect example of how she worked across party lines. To help New Yorkers and did everything that she could. You know, being a Democrat to her at that point was irrelevant. And Blue looks like he's found a friend outside of the window. anyway, back to that. I mean, again, you know, it's so unprecedented to see somebody running for president who has so much support amongst progressives and has a lot of support amongst Republicans and, by the way, as a Democrat, you know, so everything in the middle.
Yeah. Well, she's fab. So I think it's time to sexplore.
It is.
She's fab. I love that.
She's fab.
Hillary's fab.
She's fab.
She is fab. She's like the goddess of all goddesses. Mm-hmm.
I hope that when we come to the campaign offices, she's secretly there and she just makes a quick drive
Same.
By of the podcast.
Same.
She doesn't even have to know stop and say, she can just say, she just has to walk by.
No, so yeah. I just want to know what she smells like.
Delicious. Great. She smells great.
I bet she does.
She smells like the most caring, wonderful, smart new leader of the United
of the free
States.
World.
Of the free world.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of the free world.
That. Yeah.
Okay, so sexploring, Jilly.
Normally we talk about really naughty stuff, but we figured we would spare you today.
Wait, hold on. I will say it hasn't been that naughty lately.
I feel like it's been naughty. Last
episode
week
we talked
naughty.
About
I was
HJs.
A little bit like,
I'm not
this
even going to say that because we have an important person.
I know. Can't say those words in front of important people. But today, I think we are talking about women's reproductive rights. We are talking about
child care.
Perfect.
And insurance maybe a little bit.
And women's health in general.
Yep.
So I think that's
all things that are sexy to me.
All things that have to do with our reproductive organs.
Exactly. And our bodies and having ownership over our bodies. I mean, like, that's crazy that I even need to say having ownership over my body. It's my body.
Can I tell a joke?
Yes. I love it when you tell
potentially. Potentially.
Yes.
This is a joke that I read from the internet.
Okay.
You probably have already heard the joke. And I don't want to bring it up, but when Hillary was ill last week, there was a joke going around the internet that it's the first time that a Republican man has ever cared about a woman's health before.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Booyah. Zing, bitches.
I know.
Got ya.
There's a lot of funny jokes on the internet.
Wow. Wow.
That's a good joke.
Wow. That is a good
also,
joke.
It's like probably not a joke.
It's not a joke.
Anyway.
So, yeah, if you can touch on... Let's start with our vaginas. Yeah, let's start with the, I guess, reproductive rights and her stance on...
Well, she is obviously, first and foremost, very pro-choice. She was endorsed very early on by NARAL, by, of course, Cecile Richards, who we all love and adore, who's one of our most active supporters. Mm-hmm. Yay, Cecile.
Yay, Planned Parenthood.
Yay, Planned Parenthood. Cecile and Elise Hoag, who's from NARAL, and, you know, many other women in that space have been some of our most active surrogates on the campaign trail. But look, I mean, plain and simple, she's pro-choice. Mm-hmm. You know, she believes that every woman has a right to make decisions about their own body, but that involves being pro-choice. Yes. Even if you are personally pro-life for what you want for yourself, that doesn't mean that you can't be pro-choice because you want it to be a woman's, you know, it should be every woman's decision.
Yes. Yeah, Thank you so much for saying that.
It's true.
Because that is not said often enough. Mm-hmm. Just because I'm pro-choice does not mean that I'm pro-abortion or that I would do that. I just want the ability to make the decision for myself.
And everyone should have that ability.
That being said, too, pro-life, by declaring yourself as pro-life, is you making a choice.
Correct.
So therefore, you are pro-choice because you can have the decision to say that about yourself.
It's actually a very interesting way of putting it, yeah.
So it's like, if you want to say that you're pro-life, it's like, okay, well, that's your option, and that's great, and you can do that. But also, you can't prohibit people from being pro-choice.
Yeah, exactly. Like the really religious freedoms like bit is, it's just such BS. It's like, okay, your religious freedom, you know, like tells you morally what to do, and also you are obliged to allow me to do what I want to do, and practice my religion, just the same way people have different religious views. Exactly.
So you can have your own personal views, but that doesn't mean that those views are the
again
same as
a choice,
else.
Extended and enforced upon other people.
I like
people.
How you brought up Planned Parenthood as well, just because I think that a lot of people don't know that Planned Parenthood provides other medical care besides abortions. You know what I mean? And I think it's really extremely important to keep those, you know, up and running, because a lot of women go there for their mammograms.
Right.
They go there for STD checks. They go there for, you know, whatever it is they need health-wise that they can't get anywhere else.
You know, you can go there for a checkup. You don't even need to go. It doesn't even need to be related to a vaginal female problem. You can literally go there just for general care.
One of the most interesting statistics, literally, that I've heard in this entire campaign is some polling data that was shared with us that essentially, and this, you know, as we all know, so many right-wing organizations like to attack Planned Parenthood because of abortions, right, that they provide. But some of the polling data that I saw not too long ago showed that Planned Parenthood is actually one of the most popular entities in many communities because you can walk in, you can get a free mammogram, you can get, you know, access to very baseline healthcare services that you can't always get, you know, if you don't have access to health insurance or, you know, if you can't pay your premiums. So in many communities, attacks on Planned Parenthood are actually a negative. They have a negative effect because many people don't see them as being, you know, a place, you know, known as a place to, you know, that just provides abortion services. They see these places and they rely on these places, frankly, for free health care.
But you know what's even upsetting to me, that we even need, and this is just a reality of the world, that we even need to say, like, oh, don't worry, everyone. Planned Parenthood isn't just doing abortions, you know? And it's like, even if they were just doing abortions.
Right.
That's
right.
Still, which they're not. But which,
yeah, exactly.
It's just another thing. It's like, this is another reason why you voting for Hillary, like, to me, choosing should never be an option. Like, it should never not be an option.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Can you believe that it's 2016 and we're still having this conversation? And in fact, we have moved back in time so many years where a woman's right to choose and preserving that right truly is
a threat
up for debate.
It's a huge threat. And again, crazy. Not to, you know, not to get into our opponent, and I will not say his name, well, but
I F Donald Trump. I'm not, I won't say the F-U-C-K word, but I will spell it.
Thank you.
But again, everyone just has to remember that, you know, full Republican control can really, really, really set us back. There's a lot at stake in this election.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And then as far as, I guess, child care goes, mm-hmm. can you speak about some of the policies that she's interested in?
Absolutely. So one of the first policies that she unveiled during the primary was her family medical leave policy, which is paid family medical leave. She thinks it is ludicrous that we don't have a, you know, across the board federal policy in this country that forces employers to provide paid family medical leave. Right now it's optional. I mean, it is required. Everyone is required, is able to get legally 3 months, up to 3 months annually of medical leave, or, you know, medical leave from your job, so you can go back after 3 months and not lose your job. Most, or not, I shouldn't say most, but a lot of employers, especially large companies, provide, you know, at least partial pay for that leave, mm-hmm. Because it's the right thing to do, and it helps, you know, with employee recruitment and retainment, et cetera. But yes, it's not
the
required.
Turnover rate would be a lot less, and that turnover rate does when you fire someone, it costs your company
money.
Can
you clarify, when you say medical leave, is mm-hmm. that across the board? Like, if you have a medical problem, or is this if you're a woman or a man and you've just had a child?
So it's technically paid family leave. So essentially, I mean, the most common use of that is if a woman's having a child, or, you know, okay. maternity leave. The federal law currently states that, you know, a woman or a man is allowed to take up to 3 months of leave, and they can still come back and okay. retain the same job, et cetera. What her plan would do is actually require that time be paid, because what happens, we all know this, what happens is, you know, I've certainly had plenty of friends who have done this, where they've gone back to work before 3 months, even though they didn't have to, because they needed the paycheck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she thinks it's ludicrous. And by the way, she also thinks that this is not a woman's issue. This is an economic issue. It's a family issue, because it yes. affects everyone.
Agreed.
It affects the child who, you know, should spend, you know, up to 3 months at least with their mother at home.
Or
their father.
Or their two mommies.
Or with their two mommies.
Or their two daddies. Whatever.
Right. You know, it also, you know, for women who feel like they have to go back to work. I mean, I have one really good girlfriend who went back to work after 3 weeks because she needed the income, and she had no paid leave whatsoever. She was exhausted.
Yeah.
She was not on her A game. She was working at 40%. And Hillary thinks that this is something that just does not only affect women, it affects families, and it affects the workplace, because if you're, you know, employers are not at optimal performance, that affects
your business.
Your business. Yeah.
Also, if you don't want to be there, and you're running on no sleep from having a baby, mm-hmm. your body is so stressed out, your family right. is probably going through so much stress,
mm-hmm.
like, you're toast. The whole thing is over with.
Exactly.
Yeah. And
exactly.
I think it leads a lot of women on the opposite side of the spectrum mm-hmm. to leave their jobs, you know, when they still want to have them, when they still need the income, mm-hmm. because on the flip side, they can't afford to pay for child care and
correct.
Things like that. So it's such a catch-22 to, you know, have a baby in this country.
Yeah, it really is. It's like, you know, we're empowering women, you know, more than ever, but at the same time, you know, getting adequate child care and having to, you know, do I do nanny? Do I do daycare? Do I do, you know, when do I go back to work? Do I take a full year off? And then, oh, is that going to yeah. set me back professionally in the workplace?
Right.
I mean, these are issues that every woman faces, and it's not that, you know, she's going to have the magic solution to all of this, but she does believe that 3 months of paid leave when you have a child, or if your mother is sick and you need to take care of her, or, you know, you have a sick child and you need to take 3 months off work, you should get paid for that.
Also, mind you, paid leave as a woman, so you're probably making less money than your fucking shithead boss
yes.
that's not giving you the time off.
That is correct. Pay equity, that's something else that she's going to get
yes,
to the bottom
of. Yes, I mean, you know, what Lo was saying earlier, it's crazy that it's 2016 and we've taken steps back. Like, yes, we've taken steps back with being progressive with women's health and women's, like, whatever, but just women's rights in general, like, mm-hmm. as a whole. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just crazy. It's so crazy to me. Also, if you think about how recent we still got the right to vote.
Right.
It's crazy. Right. Another reason to vote as
exactly.
a woman.
Exactly.
Another reason.
Right.
I mean, I just like when I was really little and I used to watch Mary Poppins all the time, mm-hmm. I used to cry when she became a suffragette. I was like, that's so amazing. Do you remember that? When the mom rebelled and was like, that's it. Like, I'm joining the political party. And the dad was like, what? Anyway.
Do you guys remember
I love
that?
You.
No. I was just in my mind being like, holy shit, I missed a huge part of that movie.
Right.
Like,
well, it was like kind of little,
maybe
but it
you
was.
You should write an essay
really
about
remember
that.
But you really
like,
remember
that. You guys,
that
it's because,
viral.
The, well, this yeah. woman, the mom, like liberated herself in Mary Poppins.
Is that why Mary Poppins comes?
No, Mary Poppins, you know, I need to revisit.
Sorry, that's dumb, but I just
no,
don't
that's
know.
A great question. I don't know
either.
My
yeah.
phone died. I will definitely let everyone know the premise
week.
Of Mary Poppins.
I want you to write an article about this.
I will. I mean, I like get emotional talking about, I'm going to cry now. I really am.
I know.
It makes me so emotional.
About women's rights.
Well, just about this whole thing. This is such an amazing, like, it is so cool that we get to be a part of history like this. Like, this is such a really big deal.
Well, it's great that we live.
Yeah, now it's amazing.
But it's
amazing.
Also, it's interesting, too, because I feel like, you know, there's obviously women that are leaders of other countries. You know, it's not like this is like the first time this has ever happened. But then it's like you also look at the position of a lot of women and how they're treated in other countries. And we're definitely treated better than that.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, it's like crazy, the disconnect between all of this around the whole world, not just in the U.S.
Well, and the great thing about the situation we're dealing with now with Hillary is we're not just, you know, talking about how amazing she is because she's a woman. She just happens to be the most experienced person who's ever run for president.
Well, that's
and
the thing.
And she's, by the way, she's also a woman. I mean, that's what's so great about her.
But imagine, and circling back to just like working for a woman and sexism and all this stuff. I mean, if Hillary Clinton weren't a woman and were to just have all of the experience that she has as a man.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
It would be game over. We would never be, you know, we would never be sitting here worried. We'd be like, oh, this man that has all this experience, obviously.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I know. And it's so interesting because I feel like we have, like, you know, obviously talked a lot about the fact that she is a woman, mm-hmm. besides the fact that she's qualified no matter who, it, you know what I mean? And mm-hmm. so it's just interesting that we have put emphasis on that. But it's also really important to acknowledge that this is how far women have come.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I'm stoked she's a gal, folks.
I think that
she's
you know,
a fellow blonde, guys.
She is.
Yeah, right.
You know. We usually like have a lady loving at the
now.
We usually have, oh yeah, well, you're still a blonde at heart.
I'll wear a blonde wig when we go to Hillary for America.
You should wear it. We should all wear Hillary wigs.
Fuck oh my yeah. God.
Love it.
Usually we shout out a woman at the end of our episode who's our Lady Lovin', but I think this whole episode has just been one giant Lady Lovin' for.
Yeah.
I agree.
We'll still let Adrian shout out.
Oh yeah.
A woman.
Shout out whatever woman you want.
How about I shout out one of our top most amazing surrogates? And I'm going to choose Deborah Messing.
Oh, love Deb.
Has been to, I want to say, 8 or 9 states for us.
Wow.
Love Deb.
Very active on the campaign trail, very active on social media. Huge Hillary Clinton supporter.
She's the best.
I honestly
we want to be active on the campaign trail.
Yeah. Yes.
I was just saying,
can we get you girls out on the road?
I'm really interested in canvassing for Hillary. I would love to canvas anywhere.
Can we have a party?
Yes.
Yes.
Can we?
Yeah.
A phone banking party? I don't know what that means, but we can talk about
phone banking. I love phone.
That means you are calling undecided voters across America
and
talking to them.
I thought you said foam. I was like, what are we doing with foam and Hillary? Like, I'm so down.
No, phone banking is cool. But how can people volunteer for the campaign?
I'm so glad you asked. Go to www.hillaryclinton.com. Pretty easy. You will see a giant button at the top that says volunteer.
Awesome.
And also, before we end, the last time the website where you sign up to vote.
iwillvote.com.
Great. Everyone sign up to vote. Register. Get that together.
Awesome. Oh, wait. I was also thinking a cool, fun thing to do would be if you and your friends aren't registered to vote or this is your first time voting, you guys should meet up and all do it together. Bring a bottle of wine, but don't drink it till you're done. And then as a treat.
Yeah. And can you, after you get home, don't bring a bottle of wine to the register.
What do you mean? You do it online.
I thought you were talking about going to vote with a bottle of wine.
Yeah, when you go to vote, like, bring a bottle of wine.
Don't bring a bottle of wine to vote. When you,
if you're like 18 and this is your first time voting.
21. If you're 21.
Oh, sorry.
If you're 18 and it's your first time.
But if you're 21, have a wine.
Yeah, I know what you were saying, don't confuse people. And
you can register, you can vote as an 18-year-old.
Yes.
Which, by the way, Chloe Moretz, I assume you guys are Chloe Moretz fans. We love her, one of our other top amazing surrogates. She spoke at the convention, the Democratic convention, about voting for the first time and how excited she is.
That's fun.
Very inspirational.
Vote. That's dope. Register to vote. Mm-hmm. Vote. If you're 18, vote. If you're 21, drink.
Guys,
and vote. Be safe.
I have one line that I would like to close out this episode with. I thought of it earlier, and I hope you guys like it. are you ready? We're Lady Lovin', and we endorse this message.
Yeah!
Amazing.
Well, I got jokes today.
Adrian, thank you so much for being on the show. This was wonderful. No matter who you're voting for, we hope you guys enjoy this episode today. We wanted to give you a sneak peek into Hillary for America, let you guys go behind the scenes of the campaign and get to know our favorite gal a little bit better. So vote, guys, and tune in next week.
Thanks for having me, ladies.
Thanks for coming.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey guys, it's me, Owen Benjamin, and I'm here to tell you about my podcast. It's called Why Didn't They Laugh? Right here on Sideshow Network. Each episode, we look at moments that a joke fails. Moments that we don't want to relive, but we will, because we learn from it. And it's kind of fun. And we're all kind of sadistic. Why Didn't They Laugh? With me, Owen Benjamin, every Wednesday and Friday. You can download it. Be sure to rate it, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, or check us out on SideshowNetwork.tv/OwenBenjamin. I love you.